Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to another episode of Madame Perry Salon. I'm your host and cruise director, Jennifer Madame Perry. And for anyone who's new, just let me say welcome. I'm glad you're here. I hope you have a wonderful time. The idea for the salon came about because I always had a fantasy of being one of these, being one of the people that I used to read about, women who, say, in Europe or the United Kingdom or Asia, centuries past, would have a what they call a salon in their home where they gathered some of the most interesting minds of the day, whether they were philosophers, artists, writers, musicians, and they would just gather once a week or so at this patroness's home and share what they were working on, play music, and I just thought what a fascinating thing to have. So I began doing that as a blog where I would always have a co-host to make it more of a conversation than just a question-answer. And then we brought it into cyberspace, so kind of an old-world idea brought to new. And so sometimes we have co-hosts, sometimes we often we have callers in, but we always have a good show because Madame Perry knows the most fascinating people, and tonight is no exception. Tonight I'm introducing somebody. This is their first time to Madame Perry Salon, so I hope they can find their way in through the beaded curtains and stuff. So let me welcome to you author Hagatha Crispy. Hagatha, come on into the salon, dear.
Oh, Jennifer, this is just lovely. Thank you for having me, darling. I love what you've done with the place.
Well, thank you. You know, author, I always tell people that if they're new here, author Robert Leland Taylor, the first time he was here, he looked around and said it looked like the inside of Genie's bottle.
That was exactly my thought. Exactly. Oh. But thank you so much for having me on your show, and thank you for exposing me to your audience.
Well, honey, exposure, you know, is what it's all about. Now, of course, as a musician, people always ask you to do stuff free for exposure, and I said, exposure? Isn't that something you can die from or get arrested for? But then again, sometimes it's just kind of fun, you know?
And absolutely.
Hagatha Crispy, I want to talk. I'm just going to dig right into your book.
Okay.
You have a fascinating character named Holly Days.
Holly Days. Oh, yes. Holly is near and dear to my heart. Holly is an interesting little character. He's like me. He's of a certain age, shall we say. And well, you know, back in the day, back up until the early 70s, there were two conditions that were considered to be mental illnesses, and that was homosexuality and menopause. And so, honey, I hit 50 years old, and I decided to sit down and write myself a novel. And what came to my mind was a lot of my friends, a lot of the folks I went to high school with were of that age, and many of them were confused and didn't know exactly who they were at first, and I dated many of them at that time. So I have a great many friends that went into the composite making of Holly Days. And that's where Holly came from. Holly grew out of a small southern town, little bit backwards in its ways, but kind and hospitable. And halfway between there and Atlanta, and the big city and the bright lights and the bars where the boys, dress up like girls and sing songs and stuff. And that's where I found Holly, somewhere on the road between a small town in Alabama and Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, Holly. Now, I'm told, and maybe by you, that the books you've written about this character, Holly Days, the drag queen from a small town in the South, think of it as a mashup, as they say now, a mashup of Murder, She Wrote meets Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Is that true?
Absolutely. That works. Absolutely. Well, I even call the series Murder's a Drag.
Okay.
So it kind of fits in right there. And, yeah, I went the self-publishing route with my first two novellas. They're, like me, they're short and cheap. When I was a kid, I loved the dime novels, you know, the little short novels that you could read really quick. And I was a big fan, actually, back in my youth of science fiction and fantasy and things like that.
Mm.
And
oh,
I loved the
too.
Short stories, the short form. Right. So, I came up and I thought, well, and I looked at the Amazon Kindle self-publishing route after many years of writers' conferences, query letters, and competition entering, and thought, wow, this is the way to go. So I did them in novella form, which is longer than a short story but shorter than a novel.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, it's a good read for a commute. A friend of mine lives in Brooklyn and commutes into the city on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And he said he read it going in and coming back one day.
Oh,
just
nice.
a short read, and it's I went for the lowest price rate on the Amazon Kindle options. So it's not a dime novel. It's a 99-cent novella. And I thought that worked pretty well for the format and the content and everything. It's just a lighthearted, cozy mystery.
A cozy mystery. Yeah. I like that. So
yeah.
I like the commute idea because I used to commute from suburbs to downtown Atlanta to work, and I would be, when I was lucky, I could get on the express bus, which was a nice, like, big coach bus and ride and read. Or I could listen if I drove. Listen to
book
radio.
Sure, exactly. Well, I'm hoping to do it in the audiobook form. I'm working with a sound designer here to get an audio audition tape uploaded to Kindle so I can do both the books in the series that I've produced so far, that I can do them in an audiobook form. So that would be, you know, that would be a little bonus that we could do, is to have me whispering in your ear as you travel down the road. But
well, I'm sure Holly Days is all
yet.
About a bonus. What now? You're not there yet?
I haven't quite gotten that done yet. It's still on my to-do list. So.
Well, good. I'm glad you are, because that's exactly what I was going to ask you. Say, you know, I hope you're thinking in that direction. And,
Absolutely.
And would you do the reading yourself?
Yes. That is my hope, to do that myself. I do have some background in acting. I have a theater background and a radio background and things like that. So I was actually hoping to be able to do it myself and do my own flavor to it, because there is a certain flavor to, I don't know, the Southern take on it, and as well as the, there is some delicacy in handling. And these, as I say, it's a cozy mystery.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in it. Okay, the main character's a drag queen. But mm-hmm. really, there's nothing in it that you couldn't share these stories with your grandmother, who has her mystery novel reading group down at the local library or something. It's a very lighthearted, very fun, slanted more toward comedy with a nice little dose of adventure. Now, Holly gets in some trouble. Oh, yes, now Holly does get in some trouble before all is said and done. And there's some big excitement, you know. I mean, curiosity killed the cat, and, well, you know, Holly's curiosity sometimes just gets the better of her. So,
well, then let's talk about that.
It's an adventure, but it's also meant to be lighthearted and fun and more toward the cozy mystery comedic slant that that I enjoy reading, really.
A cozy, fun, comedic murder. So,
yeah, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? A fun...
I think that's like
a
I saw a little
thing.
Bit the other night of that old movie that was the, I cannot remember the name of it. It's supposed to be like I think it's probably made in the 80s or late 70s or early 80s. And it's supposed to be like a takeoff on Agatha Christie. And it had Peter Falk, Truman Capote.
Yes. Oh,
yeah,
those people. I know, I know what you're talking about. Cannot think of it, yes.
Marvel,
yeah.
We'll come up later if somebody thinks of it.
Yes, that's exactly it. And it's, even though I come from a background of you know, being aware and socially aware and trying to be, you know, connected to the LGBT community and things like that, and I am, you know, what is it? I love the meme that's out there on Facebook these days, that's the rainbow-colored brassiere that says, "I'm not gay, but I'm very supportive."
Okay.
So... So in writing this, I don't intend to step on any toes in that regard, but I also don't tend to be political with it. You know, this is not at all, there's not really any politics beyond the fact of Holly having to live kind of a double life, really. Mm-hmm. You know, at home in the small town, Hollister is a bookkeeper, an accountant, and you know, and avid gardener. And then on the weekends in Atlanta, Holly Days is a glamorous performer in a small cabaret. So that's, you know, that kind of double life thing, but that's as close as we get to politics. Honey, Holly's all about having a good time.
So tell us about Holly, what kind of show does, so tell us more about Holly and the kind of show she puts on, the kind of cabaret, what influenced her. And you've got how many books in Holly Days so far? Two?
There are two books in the series so far, and I am in process with the third. The first one is Holly Days at Home, The Truth Will Out. And the second is Holly Days at the Theater, The Ghost Lights Out.
Yeah, that's the one
and
I've got.
And the third, which is in progress right now, is Holly Days at the Beach, The Tide's Out. So I love that word play, you know, that little title word play there. But, yeah, in the first two, it's in the small town. So we don't get to see a lot of her drag performances. But Holly is most definitely, she sings her own songs. She is not one to lip sync. She is very proud of her natural voice and is a songbird, and which is, you know, very specific in the drag community, the people that sing their own songs and so forth. And there's someone, of course, one of her best friends comes into play, and perhaps there's a little romance there, you know, a little flirtation. But one of her friends is clairvoyant, who is she does gypsy drag, and she sits over in the corner and reads beads and fortunes, you know, in her crystal ball, and throws shade and serves tea and all, you know. But, yeah, Holly makes her own costumes. She's an old-fashioned girl. She makes her own costumes, and, like, she loves things. Like, when she does I'm blanking on the name, and I can see her face. She's in White Christmas. What is her name? Rosemary Clooney. When she's doing some Rosemary Clooney, you know, she includes, like, come on to my house. Well, she sews candy all over her costume, you know, so she puts this real personal touch to her costumes and things with, you know, with those kinds of illustrative features in the costume that highlight the song. But, yeah, she loves the old standards, you know, Rosemary Clooney and Judy Garland and things like that, and really does have a fine voice. But yeah, there's an entire cast. There's her aunt sister, and now her mama has moved to Tampa. You know, mama's not in town anymore, but she still does have to take care of aunt sister. And aunt sister is, you know, lives nearby and calls every night right when Holly's cooking supper. You know that one. And the big thing with aunt sister is her boy has been missing for quite some time, more than a year now. They have not seen hide nor hair of her boy and have no idea where he is, except he left a note on the table that he was going out west to get in one of those shows. So there's a lot of those, you know, it is, I was inspired by a lot of the really popular mystery novels and things that have a nice kind of kooky cast of characters, the family and neighbors and things like that of your main kind of amateur sleuth character. And I was inspired by that, and Lord knows I've got material from my own life that is applicable. I can call on any number of personal history experiences. I had myself an aunt sister, for instance. And so, yeah, I have a wealth of background in odd characters and in my own genetic lineage, so to speak. Oh, me. But, yeah, that's a little bit of who Holly is.
And so where are you from, Hagatha?
Well, I am originally from rural northeast Alabama.
Uh-huh.
Down in that neck of the woods where the Appalachian Mountains just barely curl around into Alabama before they finish up down around Georgia. So about an hour and a half due west of Atlanta in a very, very small town that's you know, bypassed by the interstate way long ago.
Uh-huh.
So that's where I was raised and reared and run out of that area, and nowadays I live in the hills and hollers of East Tennessee.
Oh.
So I come from southern, but not typical southern, I would say.
You know, I don't know what that is because I was born and raised in Atlanta, so I am southern, you know, and my family is from further out in the. We don't even call
right,
it a suburb,
right.
It was out
there
the country.
Go.
Yes,
there
you know,
go.
There's those characters that.
Exactly.
It's the kind of people where when I was growing up and I would want in Atlanta, and of course, you know, my parents had moved to Atlanta when they were young and married, for work and so forth,
right.
My dad. And so when I would want to do something with the neighbor kid, they'd say, well, who is it? And I go, well, they're sitting in my geography class. Like, that don't tell me nothing. And I couldn't figure out, I don't know. Well, they live over on, this street. That don't tell me nothing. And I couldn't figure out, what else do they want to know? Until you think about, and Hagatha, I know you've heard this, so you think back to sitting around the dinner table on Sunday and hearing something about somebody. Well, who was that? Well, you know, her mama was a Stubbs before she married a Pickett, and they had that cousin that was cross-eyed that was in prison.
Yes.
And then they found...
They might be one of them Estes's. That was what got said in my family. Like, well, who are they? Well, you just never know. They might be one of them Esteses. And I never met anyone named Estes, and I have no knowledge of any ill against anyone of that name. But that was something in my mama's side of the family. Oh, they might be one of them Esteses. I know exactly what you're talking about there. Exactly what you're talking about. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yes.
But, I grew up on a... The what now?
They wanted the whole rundown, like a little, like a little character breakdown.
Genealogy. Yes. Grandparents and everything. I watch these shows, Find Your Roots or whatever those shows are on TV, and I'm surprised at people that, I don't know my grandfather's name or so forth or so on. It's like, holy guacamole, I know both sides of my family back 4 or 5 generations just off the top of my head. I don't really have to stop and think about that, And that's just, it's funny to me. That's a very Southern thing, though. We do that.
Yeah, we do. And I remember that's how the family always did. They knew everything about somebody and everything that happened to everybody in their family. And their mama was found, on her knees, drunk, crawling around the shrubbery one night.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yes, and he run off with that woman from down south of there, and all that. Everybody knew everybody's business, which is why, again, bless Dolly Parton, I uprooted myself, as she says, and while flowers don't care where they grow. So unlike Holly, I took myself out of my home ground and didn't stay in that little tiny garden where, all the privet hedges were trimmed exactly the same way. I had to set myself out of there. But that's another thing about the character that I went back, that took me back home in a sense.
Yeah.
That allowed me to explore and reconnect with a lot of my old friends from high school who are now living lives similar to Holly. When they go to Birmingham or Atlanta, they go to clubs or they go out in public with their partners or nowadays husband, wife, so forth. But when they go back to their hometown, even right now in the 21st century, they don't let on, as we say. They don't let on.
Let on.
They don't
That's really right.
They don't really closet themselves, but they just don't let on.
Well, listen,
and
I thought
so
somebody.
That's kind of how Holly is. Holly's. He's a good boy. He don't let on.
Uh-huh. She was a good boy. He don't let on at home. Don't embarrass his mama. Well, listen, I got somebody to bring in here. I have a visitor. Here. I'm not a visitor in the studio. This is a regular and often my co-host and definitely my client. I have Sherry Meeks in the studio, or in Madam Perry's salon with us, actually. Sherry, welcome back.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, ladies. How are y'all this evening?
Oh, fantastic.
Sherry, meet Hagatha Christie. Hagatha, meet Sherry Meeks.
Sherry, nice to meet you.
Look, I've been listening to you for quite a few minutes, and just listening to you talk makes me want to read your books. I'm serious.
Thank you so much. That's so kind.
When you said they're cozy and fun comedic murders, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. that makes sense to me. Listen, I mean, and...
Well, good, because in the moment I was kind of going, oh my goodness.
But it makes total sense.
Well, I don't know if you heard. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Well,
I was just going to say, hold your question.
That sounds good.
Just before the question, I don't know if you heard this too, but in the very beginning she said her books were novellas, and they are just like her. They are short and cheap on there. So go ahead with your question.
I missed that. Okay. But here's my question. How did you know when you finished that first book, how did you know that you would write a second and a third book? How did you know that?
I went into it with a plan to do a series.
Really?
This was always planned as a series of books. I had the first one written and then 5 3-page synopses for the next in the series. I've got 6 novels planned in this particular series.
Wow.
So
that's exciting and very interesting to see that you have planned out so far.
Yeah, well, that was the thought with being short, you know. And if I was really
exactly.
clever, I would have brought out 2 or 3 of them at once so people could binge. But I'm not quite that clever.
I think it works. I think your plan totally works, though. You know, because
yeah.
people now, they you leave them wanting more after the
right.
first book. You've got the second book, and now you're working on that third. And they can binge
that's
again when all 6 of those come out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I hope one day that there might be an opportunity by some means or another to even expand them. And my husband is in the film and television business, and he keeps nudging me toward pitching the first one as a pilot for a TV series. So, you know, there's a couple of different options that, who knows what the future may bring. But right now, the most current thing that is actually about to happen next on my to-do list is getting those audio auditions into Kindle so I can do the audio book of the 2 novellas. You know, that would be that's my list of things to do. So, yeah.
Well, good for you. That's very impressive. Very impressive.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm you know, I just keep chugging away, and one of these days I'm hoping that I'm going to be writing Holly Days full time. Instead of doing, well, I love my day job, but, you know, I'd rather be writing Holly Days full time than doing transcriptions of oral history.
that's not quite as much fun. I can understand that.
Let me ask
but
you.
It will happen.
Yeah, it will.
Excellent. I'm putting it out there into the universe. It's all going to happen. And I'm
right
going to be busy.
I'm right there with you. I totally understand putting it out to the universe. And so does Madam Perry.
Yeah, and we can believe it, too, with you. We can just talk to you. Believe me, Sherry and I, we know these things. We can. Madam Perry's psychic. You know that.
Well, of course. Yes. How could she be anything but?
Mm-hmm. Actually, my last.
My last
paid gig as a psychic was a New Year's Eve party at Usher's mother's house. So, yes.
Fabulous. That is fabulous.
Wow.
Okay, can we play this game? Can we play this little game? My husband was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
No way.
For real. Back in 90, 91, he was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. He did the promotional tour ahead of the rock tour.
Okay.
Who was he?
Which one?
He was Michelangelo.
Oh,
dude.
Of course.
Dude, come on.
Of course.
I mean, oh, my God. Yeah, he had the head that did the animatronic eyes and mouth and the whole nine yards. It was wild. But he did a private gig for Bobby Brown, and Whitney Houston was there, and he made himself in such a way as he accidentally, on purpose, brushed up against her backside. So my husband touched Whitney Houston's butt. Oh, my God.
And they didn't smell
him. That's his big claim to fame. You know, he was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, and he touched Whitney Houston's backside. So there you go. There you go.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
That's
was
good.
So much
That's
fun.
Good.
That was a hoot. Yeah, that was a hoot. He doesn't do those things in front of the camera type things anymore. He's behind the camera nowadays. Oh man.
Have you ever been to have you been to drag shows then? I'm guessing live.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my goodness, yes, 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 yes. I was raised up and dragged to the shows by my friends from my hometown, and we would go to either Birmingham or Atlanta, and just like Holly Days, and go to the shows. And they knew, you know, they introduced me to a lot of their friends. And then up here in Knoxville, where I've lived for half my life now, I have a number of friends among the drag community here. As I said, Angel Collins, the Eighth Wonder of the World, and Tony Carlisle, and several of those old school. Now, you know, we're all a little bit of an age up in here, but that's kind of what I was going for with Holly, was a more mature scene. The cabaret in which he performs in Atlanta is an exclusive club, low-key, you know, private, discreet clientele kind of a thing. So,
Sherry,
not really
have you been to
a club thing?
Oh, I see. Sherry, have you been to a drag show?
I have not. I mean, I've seen some on TV, but I have not been to a drag show. But I think it would be fun to see one, and to see.
Well,
I'm sure there's a lot that goes into it, you know.
Well, if you want to get an education, I can tell you, just watch a few episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race.
And I have watched that a couple of times, or maybe I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking about is, remember when he had a show, it's been quite a few years ago, that's what I'm thinking about.
Oh, okay.
His old
okay.
show. But I have watched that, but I do need to look up Drag Race, and I'm writing it down right now.
It's
so,
a hoot.
That,
it is a hoot. And they go into, I mean, you see backstage. You know, you see, you don't see it like up close and personal, but you hear them talking about, he didn't, you know, bind everything up and fluff everything out properly. You know,
hey,
they get on each other, and that's, you know, that is, in addition to having good friends who do drag and being actually, oh my gosh, I mean, most of my best friends most of my life have been gay men, just to be perfectly honest about it. And my husband and I are part of a huge arts community here in this area, and we have friends. Oh, my gosh. We have friends who are, it's so exciting. A couple of my friends, even from back home, he's getting married. He just asked his partner to marry him the other day. And they're down in Alabama, and they're going to be able to do that. They're going to be able to get married in Alabama. And we're just like, oh, honey, I'll get crying if I think about it. It's just a joyous thing. You know, we're just, I mean, we have lesbian friends who, one of them is an ordained Episcopalian priest. And they recently were able to get married and, you know, legalize their relationship, so to speak. So my husband and I, given that we're part of the arts community and given that these folks have been such our good friends and we've worked in social activism together, really, in some sense, in the very, very largest sense, you might could say we're kind of part of the queer community. You know, part of that community in a sense. So, yeah, I don't feel uncomfortable writing about something. I don't feel like that's a foreign topic to me to write about something like that. That came, you know, the character just manifested. He just popped into my mind fully blown, really. And then after, in writing it and you know, that artist thing you do about deconstructing everything.
Yes.
Don't take it for granted. It popped into your mind. You've got to pick it apart. No.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So, you know, and picking it apart, I came to see, oh, that was Phil, that was Mark, that was Steve, that was, you know, that was, you know, all these friends, these people that I knew and loved. And I feel my Holly character honors that friendship and that relationship and those people that I love so much. So it's a little bit of a love letter.
That's sweet. Well, I think because when my husband and I got together, at the time I was a hairdresser, so I had a lot of gay friends, guys, right. And then him being a musician, he knew all the lesbian musicians in town, so we merged our friends that way, you know?
Yeah, exactly that. And we were part of a dance group, so we kind of... My husband and I were part of a modern dance company for about 10 years. So we were, you know, kind of halfway between musicians.
What a life!
And it really I think how did we not be connected before now? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, really. Well, yeah, that's the thing too. Going to drag shows and certain ones. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I had a cable TV show for years in the late '80s. And when sometimes I'd have people on to perform, but then a couple times I'd write little short scripts to do, and I'd always get the drag queens because they knew how to come in ready to do their part and just let them go. And I remember my husband would say, "Now don't just watch the young pretty ones; watch the older ones." The vets like Lily White and Charlie Brown, he said, even when they're not featured on stage, if it's like an ensemble situation, he said, even if they're not featured, every moment, every second they have up there is not wasted. It's valuable. They stay in character, you know, and they work in character without scene stealing, but they do stay in character.
Being there, being present. Exactly that.
100%. 100%. And it sounds to me that you know, your involvement with the community, I know that has to, that, like you say, it is a love letter, but I know that it has to come through in your books how much you care about this community, and I'm sure that adds to the writing. It has to.
Well, I hope so. And it was, I was extremely fortunate when I first got started on this path and had, you know, walking out, I mean, I look back on it and I'm just like, oh, facepalm. But, you know, walking out with my little typewritten manuscript in hand, you know, going to a writer's conference and so forth. And I had the great, great, great good fortune to take a workshop with Dr. Ralph McInerney, who wrote the Father Dowling Mysteries.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
He set me free. He totally set me free because I was laboring. And that was the issue, the exact issue he addressed, was that so often when you write a mystery, you hear that you have to have the entire solution and where you're going to plant all the clues all figured out in advance and then write around that outline or whatever. And he totally set me free. He said he set his character up in a first scene and something happened. Oh, my gosh, a big, you know, tragedy or whatever, you know, murder mystery, whatever. And then he just followed the character to see what happened.
Wow.
It was just a wonderful workshop, and it was. I was so glad. It was one of the last ones he gave before he passed away. But it did. It set me free. It set me free then to, oh my gosh, I don't have to have sleepless nights worrying about how do I and where do I plant and where's the red herring and the counter plot. I was just able to see Holly and follow where that led, and it, of course, the structure and the plotting, the counterplotting, the red herrings, the so forth, are all in there, but it wasn't nearly like I thought it was going to be when I first set out, you know, because he gave me that mind-blowing awareness.
And again, it's back to what you said earlier. It's what you put out to the universe. So you went in knowing that it would work itself out and became much more organic. And I bet your writing is stronger because of it.
Way stronger. Mm-hmm. And I had the benefit, too, of being older. I was 50 before I really sat down. I mean, I've written all my life. I started out, I think the very first thing I ever wrote, I found a hardback cover, an empty hardback cover in the big old bookshelf in my parents' living room. So I knew that what one had to do was write a book to put it in the cover. And I wrote, I'm a 6-year-old girl. You know? And I wrote about how mean my sisters were to me and so forth and so on.
That, you know. That was your one true sentence right there. I'm a 6-year-old girl.
A 6-year-old girl. And so, and then I cut the pages out and I put them in the book, and that was the first thing I ever wrote. And I went on, I mean, I worked for 10 years as a newspaper reporter, slightly more than 10 years as a newspaper reporter, and often at very small town newspapers throughout the Southeast by preference. And that taught me, oh, a lot about editing. Mm-hmm. And how to, you've slaved and worked and researched and interviewed and studied and put together a good, solid 24 column inches of story for this edition.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
Your editor walks up and said, we just got a new ad in. Can you cut that down to 8 inches? Sure, boss. Yeah. Let me just take this knife out of my back and use that. How about, you know? So, yeah.
Really, seriously,
was,
you should take this on the road. You should take this
really?
On the road.
Well, I want to. And I think it would be good for my husband to be left alone for a little while. But it is my plan. I want to get one of those little trailers and tag-along trailers so I can take all my stuff with me. And do a tour of the South and do gay bars and bookstores and places like that and do readings, you know, of Holly Days. And I'd have to essentially be in drag myself because I never wear makeup or dress or, you know, anything if I can get away with it. So essentially me putting on makeup and heels would be putting me in drag. So I figure I could pull it off. I think it might just work. I think it might work.
I think they'll come in droves. I really do. I mean, seriously, with your personality, I can see it happening.
Can too. And so hold that thought, because you know, I told you I've got a new sponsor tonight that I need to talk about.
Sure.
But hold that thought too, because you know, as I was telling you, Sherry is my client. I'm an entertainment publicist, and I have been talking for a long time about getting my own little tour bus, trailer, or whatever, and just taking a few of my favorite people on a publicity tour.
Hey,
just the people.
That could be awesome. That could be the best.
We have
all
reports from the road, little meerkat videos or whatever they call it.
Sure, sure.
Know,
oh, my God, that would be hilarious. Oh, my
so
God,
you can,
yes.
Now, I'm not going to cut off your mics because I want you to come back. So I'm going to leave your mics on, so don't be yelling at your husband about anything.
Okay, I'll try not to.
You know, while I talk about this, listen, this is a company, a new sponsor tonight. I'm so excited about. They're called Inked and Screened. They're a screen printer poster company. They have patent prints, pop culture posters, clocks, keychains. They specialize in the handmade printing techniques, you know, the old-fashioned kind of things that people don't do a lot of now because they do more digital. But let me tell you, if you go to their website, it's Inked, I-N-K-E-D-A-N-D, Screened, screened.com. And if you're looking here on the Blog Talk Radio page, you see I've got a link to it in my little mention of them down there. But click on that and go to their website. You've got to see this. They've got all kinds of just from the posters, it says I'm looking at the Vintage Inventions page. It says from Tesla to Henry Ford, we have all your favorite inventions in this print collection. And actually, their prints come in categories of alcohol and spirits, architecture, infographics, automobiles, aviation, cutaways, gaming, military, weaponry, music and audio, novelty, sci-fi and fantasy. Let's see what else they have in here on that. Toys and collectibles, tech and gadgets, vintage inventions, which would be what I would want in frames. Then they have all kind of sci-fi and fantasy, Star Wars type of images for clocks. And like I said, I can tell you about it, but you've got to see it to believe it. They've also got a pretty good sale going on right now, too. It looks like some of their posters are half price or a little less than half price. All the cool keychains. What else do they have here? The clocks, the blogs, they'll tell you about themselves. They'll make custom orders for you. So definitely go. Oh, yeah, keychains with some of your favorite comic books, images, and characters. I'm going to click on that link right now and see what it has. Oh, yeah, like the Avengers. And let's see, I'm kind of out of the I'm not as hip on the comic books as I used to be. Somebody, Bureau for the Paranormal Research and Defense. whatever you could possibly want to find is in here. So definitely, I'm going to be tweeting about them too, but definitely go to inkedandscreened.com and check them out. Like I said, they got a great sale going on. Gorgeous stuff here. And they're also on Instagram as Inked and Screened too. And just look at the stuff. It's gorgeous. All right, so now we are back to the show with guest Hagatha Crispy and our co-host Sherry Meeks. Which, by the way,
I have to say, I'm going to go check out that website because my husband is all into all kinds of the kinds of things you were just describing. Oh, my gosh. Sounds like a perfect time to get his birthday present, which is coming up next week. Yay! Thank you.
That is really cool.
You just saved me a lot of time and trouble. Bam, I've got his birthday. I'll phone up now.
Well, honey, I'm glad to hear that. And like I said, it's like they've got a sale going on, so that's even better, like a Millennium Falcon clock to hang on the wall.
Stop it. He needs a clock, and that sounds perfect. See, there you go. There you go.
I know.
You've just done it for me. You have given me his birthday gift. And I was just, you know, not even knowing what I was going to do. And there it is. There is the perfect thing. I am not kidding. That is so funny.
That's the universe.
Who knew? I was going to get his birthday present out of this. I hope he's not listening. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. He'll be surprised if I actually get something here by his birthday. That's what'll shock him.
That'll surprise him. I know it would surprise mine, that's for sure.
Let's talk about our
tour through the drag bars. I had a client once that I booked an event at Blake's in Atlanta a few years back.
Right.
And they gave us the upstairs bar. And I've talked to Sherry about having something for her there, but I need to really build her following in the gay community so that they'll all know who she is and have her there. So that's what we should do, just have a big party.
Well, we should. And for a tour now, part of the research I'm going to do for my third Holidays novel, and, you know, darn, it's a tough assignment, but somebody's got to do it. I don't know if you're familiar with the Don Cesar in St. Petersburg, Florida.
No.
But if you go and Google that bad boy, it's a gigantic pink hotel right on the beach in St. Pete.
Cool.
Oh, my God. And I had no idea until I started looking it up and kind of researching the area, but Tampa is the drag queen capital of the world. And Tampa's just, you know, right over on the couple miles down the road from St. Pete. So that's part of my, you know, I've got to get down there. You know, that's going to be a part of the next novel is Holly and friends are going to St. Pete to compete in some of the drag competitions down there. And oh yes, that's what I'm just like fascinated now. I haven't ever been to a drag. I've seen shows for years and years, but I've never been to a drag competition. I can only imagine.
You know what's funny? What's funny too is that Tampa is they have more strip clubs than any other place in the U.S. So
yes,
there's a lot of activity in Tampa.
That too. Lots of singles. Lots of money in Tampa takes the form of single dollar bills, I would imagine.
That is good. I love that.
Oh, my goodness. But St. Pete is over on the, again, there's people in St. Pete tend to be of a certain age and a little bit more mature. And I'm thinking that Holly would be more comfortable on that side, on the Gulf side, where his younger cousin might be more comfortable in Tampa, you know. So there'd be some contrast there. But oh yes, that's you know, I think that would definitely need to be a stop on the tour. Would be the Don Cesar and St. Pete, because who wouldn't want to listen to, you know, drag queen novellas sitting on the porch of a big pink hotel?
Nobody would want to listen to that.
I mean, I've got connections, Knoxville, Birmingham, Atlanta. You know, we know Tampa's a big, you know, really, really popular area. So it sounds like, you know, a few weeks of touring could be just the very thing. Oh my gosh! Well, and just
I'm
to
happy
plug
with
a friend of mine. Well, now my friend that I was mentioning earlier that I just performed with Angel Collins doing Dolly Parton lip sync at Dolly Parton's birthday party. My good friend who did it was his performance. Really, it was his show, his material called "A Boy and His Dolly." And he's amazing. He does this whole hour long show, and he gets local musicians to work with him, and all this kind of stuff. And see, that would be a gorgeous. You could do probably a whole evening if you had something like that, and some readings and things like that. Oh my goodness, we could just have. We'd need a convertible. I mean, we'd only be too glamorous in it. You know, we'd have to have a convertible with one of those little Airstream trailer tag along.
Maybe we could do something with the tour bus. Maybe we can make the tour bus a convertible as well. So there you go.
Well, surely we could. But I hate camping, but the idea of having, you know, of just touring around, you know, like that, it just strikes my funny bone. I think I could manage to do.
Well, you know, your
but a tour bus would be better. That would definitely, you'd have all your amenities and stuff.
Your good friend Becky Kyle has been wanting to try something called glamping, and she'll bring it up every time she's on the show. She'll find at least one spot to work in glamping.
Get out of my head. I was just about to say glamping. I hate camping, but I think I might try glamping. That's why I keep thinking of the little vintage Airstreams, is because that's what you see glamped up, or, you know, tricked out with the lights and, you know, scarves and pretty sparkly things.
I think I'm more equipped for glamping, too. I love
pretty
that.
Pretty sparkly things everywhere, candles, you know.
And the comforts of home. And the comforts of home.
All that. Oh. The only thing, and this has been, my husband and I have literally discussed this as a serious topic. I would want to have some kind of little hammock feature so I could take my cats. Not really.
Oh,
I'm not that
man.
Bad. But that was part of my, I was like, if we were going to go on the road for, you know, several weeks at a time, we'd have to take the cats with us. And he would say, well, they would just flop around in the trailer. We couldn't, you know, it wouldn't be safe.
So
we decided we'd build little hammocks and just swing them from the ceiling. Oh, my goodness. But, I think it's probably better just to leave him here with the cats, and I'll hit the road. I think that would work best.
Yeah. I like the thought of that, the cats in the hammock. That is
cats in a hammock. I mean, I'm fascinated with the whole concept. I don't know if it would work, wouldn't with my cats, but, oh, my God, that would be so much fun to have, you know, your little cats just swinging along back there. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, that was an actual serious topic of conversation one evening when we were discussing, you know, when I get to the point of doing a book tour, that would be a thing. But, see, this would be even better because I could just leave him here with the cats and we could all have fun and do, you know, like the whole girl thing on the road. That would be the plan. That would be the plan. Oh,
definitely let us know when you're going on tour. We want to, I mean, I know I want to hit at least one of your stops. So
well, I tell you what, I certainly will, and I don't know. I mean, that is rather nebulous at this point. You know, cat hammocks notwithstanding. it is. I have had work every summer for the last several years that would be, you know, the ideal time to do that kind of thing. I've had work. Again, you know, kind of community outreach work here locally that's
right.
You know, got to do that. That's top priority right there. But so far, so far I haven't heard if that's going to manifest this next summer.
Oh.
And you know, I have got to get down to the Don Cesar, and why not make a few stops along the way? I've got to get down to do my research anyway, so
that's what I was thinking.
I've got friends at Terrific New Theater in Birmingham, which is very cutting-edge professional theater company there, and they host, for instance, Del Shores. I don't know if you're familiar with Del Shores. Oh, my gosh, he does films, and he's a playwright, really. That's how I first came to know him, was as a playwright. He does titles like Sordid Lives and Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will, and things like that. And they have him down, and he does readings from his, you know, his plays and his other works and stuff. And he's very much oriented toward the, you know, one of his main characters in several of his plays is Brother Boy, who is a drag queen.
What's his name?
That,
what boy?
That
Brother
would be
Boy.
One of my stops would be Birmingham. And yeah, Brother Boy. Leslie Jordan plays the role in the film, and it's just
Leslie
a hysterical
Jordan.
Character.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, listen, this is so much fun, but I got a couple of things I got to get in before we get to the end of the show. Okay. One of the first of all is, this must be a buddy of yours, and I hope he's going to be a friend of ours, Sherry, Eric Dale Eubanks. Okay. He has just posted on here. Two words have me in stitches at the moment, glamping and cats. And then he put ROFL. So,
hilarious.
Well, Eric is one of my dearest, dearest, dearest friends in the entire world. Oh, my God, that is hilarious. And, yes, I can almost hear him laughing as we speak.
And
that
Eric, you should have called in and told us, but you probably are laughing too hard to dial the phone. But
he may be
Oh,
my gosh. No, I've known Eric for way too long, and we have seen each other in way too many compromising positions. Oh, my goodness.
It sounds like a whole series of shows here, Sherry. I think we've got some things to plot with. Hey, and by the way, while we've got a moment too, and since you mentioned Birmingham, you know, every week now, I've got Sherry on a pretty heavy, it's about to get a lot heavier, but I've got Sherry on a pretty heavy podcast, and I'm trying to get like 100 podcasts in 100 days or something, book things.
Remember to breathe.
She started off as a we started with the wildly unconventional Finding Tambri tour. Finding Tambri is the name of her novel, and so it's wildly unconventional because she started off in the beginning. It was right before Christmas when it's hard to get into a bookstore where they planned everything months ahead, and so not to be to be very undaunted. You want to get her in a bookstore? Fine, she'll go where she feels like it. So she started taking her books, having events in wine bars, Mexican restaurants, wellness centers, anything she'd come. And since it was Christmas time, then what we would do is whenever I do a pitch for it, I'd say, tired of shopping, stop at the wine bar, have a second glass of Merlot, go ahead and buy your Christmas gifts from Sherry, and she would gift wrap them. She would take paper and gift wrap them.
Oh, cool. Yes. Oh, very neat. Yes. What a neat idea.
It's been a lot of fun so far.
I love the whole concept and the title and everything. I mean, that just works in every different way. That just works all kinds of ways.
Oh, she keeps it and we like that. We like the unconventional things. Like, okay, we're not going to follow any rules. She's got the talent and the enthusiasm where we can just keep going forward. So we're going to have to. So
I have a feeling Meg is unconventional too. Hagatha is unconventional.
Oh, you do?
She's right there with
it. Are you sure? So
you might be on to something there. You might have a clue. I'm not sure.
That's right. I keep saying Sherry, you or your sister who's a musician, who's a great musician. I said, why don't you just gotta start dating somebody that owns an RV company or whatever so we can borrow one?
That's gonna be on the top of my list. Good looking and handsome and sweet and kind. That's down the list now. He's gotta have an RV place. That'll be number one. Right now.
We
and
have
a hammock.
Says this little
a hammock for the cats.
And cat hammocks in it. Dear God, I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, Sherry, so let's give us so Sherry's on tour now. I know you're stopped off at home in Macon for a while to kind of regroup. What's the next spot? Give us the update. What's your next spot next week? Where are you going to be?
Well, actually, it's funny that Meg mentioned Birmingham. I'll be in Birmingham next week on the 2nd. And I'll be on a show on ABC 3340. It's on at 9:10 Central Time. It's called Talk of Alabama, and I am so excited about being on the show. And thank you so much, Madam Perry, for setting that up for me. I'm really excited about that. And then that same day, I'll be at Barnes & Noble on Patton Drive.
Main Street.
At the Patton Creek Shopping Center on Main Street. And this is in Hoover, Alabama, which is just a stone's throw away from Birmingham. So I'll be there from 2 on till about 4 or 5, probably. And then my next stop after that is March 19th. I'll be in Asheville at Barnes & Noble from 2 to 4 and 6 to 8 that day on March 19th. So We're rocking and rolling with this tour, and I love it.
And Eric Eubanks is in Montgomery, Alabama, so we should book something in Montgomery, too. But we're so could you please, would you please tell your friends in Birmingham to come out and meet Sherry?
I will send them down there, and they will be there with bells on. You'll recognize them immediately. they'll be the ones with bells
on.
I will be happy to send them that way. I know right exactly the Barnes & Noble you're talking about. That is exactly, I know exactly where you're talking about. That's awesome. I will definitely spread the word.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Where can we see you next? Because we only got about 6 minutes left. Where can we find you in person? Are you going to really be going on tour before we get the tour bus going?
I don't think I am. Right now, the next thing I'm working on is getting my audiobook versions of the novellas out there in the ether. And so far, Hagatha and Holidays are both still ethereal. But we could be looking for something in the next couple of months to be coming out, so to speak. You never know when that closet door is going to open, honey. You just never know.
Hi, so glad. And Eric is saying, I'm enjoying this so much. Thank you for doing this. Oh, hey, Eric, we did it for you, baby. We did it for you.
He's a doll baby, and I love him. Oh. That is so cute. I'm just gonna have to give him big huggers and kissers when I see him next time.
Well, Hagatha Crispy, you're an absolute. Oh wait, we got one more caller coming in. Wait just a minute.
Oh wow.
Hi there. Welcome to Madame Perry Salon. To whom do we have the pleasure of speaking?
Hi, this is Carrie Dunn.
Hey.
I hope I'm not too late.
Carrie, so good to talk with you. You know Hagatha Crispy?
I do not, but I love the description I'm reading. So.
Well, thank you. It's nice to hear from you.
And Carrie is an author. He does fantastic neo-noir novels. His Joe Peace, if you haven't got it, you ought to get it. And I met him through our friend Becky Kyle.
You know, she's everywhere. Becky's just
saying.
I think that's awesome. That is awesome. I will definitely check that out.
Well, I love the description of Murder, She Wrote meets Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. That was the closest I could come to getting the flavor of it. And the only step further I could take was it's Murder, She Wrote meets Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, somewhere in the Deep South. So
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert has one of my favorite movie lines of all time, delivered by Terrence Stamp. I don't know if I can say this, but they're out there, and I think it's Hugo Weaving. No, it's Guy. I can't remember his last name. Guy Pearce, yes.
Yeah.
And he's standing on the boulder, and Terrence Stamp looks over at him and says, "Well, a cock and a frock on a rock."
Yes. That whole movie is just, it's quotable, eminently quotable. It's got one of my favorite visuals of the Maria Callas while the guy's riding on top of the bus in the shoe with the silver lame streaming back. I mean, that's just... kind of breathtaking and kind of hilarious at the same time. It's hard to have those two emotions at once.
Where are you from, Meg?
I am originally from Alabama, and I currently live in the hills and hollers of East Tennessee.
Okay. Well, good. You certainly do have a little Alabama twang.
Oh, yeah. I hold on to it dearly and preciously.
Well, as you should.
I could have gotten rid of it, and I do upon occasion. But for Hagatha, you know, Hagatha, I don't think she would be anything like, you know, anything but Southern. Anything but Southern.
I'm originally from Texas, and I've kind of lost that. But when I get back around my friends in Texas, you know, I just start talking about. Oh, 20 minutes slower than I normally do.
Yeah. Now, my husband spent a lot of his childhood. He was a military brat early on, but he spent a lot of his childhood in Texas, and that was, do you say ma'am and sir quite a bit?
Oh, all the time, even to people
all
that are like 10 years old.
yes, absolutely. That's exactly what my husband said. But despite that background, when the first time I took him home to meet my family, my sister and I started talking, and you know, a lot of people don't realize that a Southern dialect doesn't have to be slow. And we started talking,
that's
and we
true.
Were getting right on down to it. It was yada da 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 90 miles an hour, and I looked over at my poor husband, and he was sitting there with this look on his face, like, I know they're speaking English, but I can't understand a word they're saying.
All right, folks, listen, we got 5 seconds left. Thank you so
right.
much to Hagatha Christie.
Oh, I just wanted to call in and
holidays.
Say I love you. The description of your book, and I'm going to check it out. So good luck.
Oh, thank you. Thank you
all
so
right.
much.
Big love to Carrie Dunn in Baton Rouge. We're going to take this tour bus down to you, Carrie. You know that's coming.
Oh,
Sherry Meeks will be in. Sherry will be in Birmingham next week.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
good luck
you
to
again.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank
bye-bye.
You, Meg. Enjoyed talking to you. Bye, guys.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, so here we go.
Hello there. No, I'm not. I'm just leaving some notes to carry about because he was saying he's sorry he didn't call in till late. Isn't that sweet? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I felt it was very lively. And also, yeah, the fact I thought it was lively, and she's fun. You know, the thing is too, when you don't know somebody really before, and you know about, but I thought reading about her story, I knew about her stuff and her stories before, but not as much about her. So when I found that out, then you know, I thought, okay, well, she seems like fun. Okay, and all right. Then knowing that she was so, even though what she was going through publicly on the Facebook page, that she still was kind-hearted about Diana, I like that too. But then when trying to get a hold of Sylvain this afternoon, we made that connection by phone. I called, and she was just it was like somebody like you'd known him all your life, you know. Running out of stuff. Every time I get started or something, she'd say something. I'm thinking, well, I'm just kind of like just gonna hand over the reins. I don't know what to do, but And where? Oh, okay. Oh yeah, I've already pitched. Yeah, they're on your Barnes and Noble list. Yeah. Are you sure? Are you sure you feel like it? Because I know you had a busy day. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, me too. Yeah, I just our powwows. I feel like we make so much more happen when our energies combine like that. And so you know, if you feel that if you have any feeling that you just can't make the Chicago thing, don't worry that I'll be upset.
Okay, me too.
Well, Denton said he could take care of both our tickets, mine and yours, with his frequent flyer miles that he's earned from his job.
Really?
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, I think he is. And he's very smart. And, you know, I told you I booked him one time on that sci-fi show because I told him, I said, look, this guy has taught at Cal State where the guys at Big Bang Theory on the show teach. So, you know, let it flow with him. He's very creative. And he's very intelligent, very creative, and a lot of fun. I mean, he didn't turn me down at all on the burlesque thing. I think it was kind of a shock to him, but he was still, you know, cool, and you know, came all dressed up, and you've seen that picture of the hat and his vest and everything, looking. And he, but I think he's a very smart man, and I think he's a very good writer, and then the fact that he, you know, asked you because he knows a lot of people, to me that show, you know, he recognizes. Your skill and your talent and your education. So, and I'm flattered that he asked you because it shows he really does, you know, he pays attention. He was, like I said, he knows a lot of people, and he recognized and appreciated and respected that in you to come to you because I've never known anybody else tell me that you did that.
I know.
Okay, and but like I said, because last year when Kenya and I were going to go to it, it was in New York, and then we got down to it, and I remember I just said something to her about, I thought, oh, I can't let her down. So I thought we planned it. Fine, I said, Kenya, I don't think I'm bigger for it this year, but. And I feel bad because I've, you know, led you, you know, to, and she goes, girl, I was going to tell you I couldn't afford it, but I was going to find a way to make it happen because I didn't want to let you down. You know, because she and I are more like, you know, what's the gift of the Magi? That would be us, you know, sell the brush, you know, sell the hair for a watch chain and sell the watch for a hairbrush. And, you know, that's the kind of way she and I would do, you know. We would never, so I said, Kenya, why didn't you go? Well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Well, I didn't want to hurt you. I didn't want to disappoint you. So, yeah. But no, it isn't. Yes, it is important. But you know what? If you know, we know, you know, if I don't do what me and Kenya, you know, Kenya and I will both try to fly to something when we're being told, no, don't do that. You can do this. The Decatur Book Festival is a big deal, too. And then we can also still do Book Fest next year. We'll be back in New York. And so there's other things. So if you come up with something like, okay, well, I made some extra moolah, but I'm not sure if I should put it on this for whatever reason, you know, I'm not going to be upset. Just so you know, Decatur's a big deal. And I hooked you into Darren Wong on Facebook because he's one of the people that puts it on. He's one of the groups that, you know, runs it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Fantastic. I'm so excited. It's fun driving the Sherry Meeks tour bus, finding tampering. Oh, and I took something book you read and add with a chainsaw. Anybody has some fun? Oh, Tutors with a Chainsaw. So I'll put down Finding Tabby with a Chainsaw by Sherry Meek. So if you see that you're tagged, that's what it was, you know. Yeah. All right. Get some sleep. Get your beauty sleep and your brain sleep. And okay. Bye. Oh, and watch the weather tomorrow, because you know we're supposed to have a flash flood warning around Atlanta between 6 tonight and 6 tomorrow morning. Did you know that? Hello? Girl, just hang up on me. Yeah, I was thinking, watch the weather, because what's so funny is, I said, watch the weather, because I've heard the news come in here that we're supposed to have a flash flood warning tonight around Atlanta from 6 p.m. tonight to 6 a.m. tomorrow. I don't know what the weather is there, but watch on to it. So it should be gone by 6 a.m. tomorrow. But then I got that out, and then it quit. So I looked at the phone, and I went, well, just hang up on me, will ya? And then as soon as I said that, the CB, Sherry Meek, I went, oh, my gosh, she hears me. She's psychic. Okay. All right. I'll see you then. Bye.